Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.
Great to be back.
This is part 9 of our 10-part audio series, looking into the history of Afrin. Today we're focusing on a really specific slice of time, the late 1930s, let's say roughly 1937 to 1939.
Right, a critical few years.
Yeah, it seems like a period of huge shifts under the French mandate. You've got local dynamics, external pressures, and this really critical factor of a changing, solidifying border.
Exactly. And the sources we're looking at, they give us these glimpses into that time. We see it through local resistance, through the arrival of refugees, and, you know, how the French mandate administration was trying to manage things.
Manage its relationship with neighbors, too, I suppose, especially Turkey.
Absolutely. So we'll try and piece together a picture of life and politics in Afrin during those crucial years, just before the world changed again with World War II.
Okay, so let's start with that local response. The sources talk about resistance against the authorities during the mandate.
They do. It definitely wasn't a time of just passive acceptance. There were active movements.
And one that pops up in the sources specifically for the 1930s, fitting right into our time frame, is the Murid movement.
That's the one. Led by Natchişi Halil İbrahim Sulukoğlu, according to the documents we have.
And what's really interesting is where it was based. The sources pinpoint the Nabi Huri Shrine Complex. That's quite significant.
It is. And the sources describe it as this, well, this blend. It wasn't just religious, wasn't just political. It combined Naqshbandi Sufi leadership with some very real social grievances people had.
Grievances against who, primarily?
The sources mention two main targets, local landowners, the powerful Agas, and also the French mandate authorities themselves.
So it's this complex mix, using religious authority, it seems, to challenge power on both a local and a, well, colonial level.
Precisely. And it wasn't minor. The French mandate sources we have from this period actually mention actively suppressing resistance movements, and they specifically name this Murid movement.
So it was definitely on their radar, a real challenge.
Oh, for sure. It shows that local people were reacting, organizing, and pushing back against the changes mandate rule brought, and the economic shifts happening at the time, too.
Okay, so that's an internal dynamic. But you mentioned external factors shaping Afrin, too, especially in the late 30s. People arriving.
Yes, refugees. The sources indicate Afrin became a place of refuge for people coming from Turkey during the 1930s.
Any specifics on who was arriving?
The documents specifically mention Alevi Kurds. They were fleeing the violence and aftermath of the Dersim massacre in Turkey during that decade.
And settling within Afrin.
Yeah, in areas like Mbeta, according to the sources.
So you really see how these major regional crises, like Dersim, had immediate direct impacts on the ground in Afrin, changing its population makeup even back then.
Definitely. And it wasn't just people arriving unmanaged. The sources suggest the French mandate authorities were, you know, involved. They managed these flows.
Managed them how? Just observation or more actively?
Sometimes actively. There are indications they sometimes even encouraged Kurdish refugee settlement, which would certainly fit this context of arrivals from Turkey in the late 30s.
Right. And all of this is happening under the umbrella of the French mandate. How did they actually govern Afrin during this specific 1937-39 window? Especially with that border situation heating up.
Well, the sources show the expected assertion of control, you know, military presence, administrative structures. Right. Afrin was set up as a Qadha, an administrative district under the state of Aleppo, later Syria, within the mandate system.
But not just straightforward control.
No, it was more complex. The French also engaged in co-option, trying to work with local power structures, not just replace them.
Like making deals with the Agas you mentioned earlier.
Exactly. Forming alliances with powerful local figures, making concessions sometimes on how things were run locally, maybe even recruiting locals into auxiliary forces. It's that classic mandate balancing act. Direct control where needed, but pragmatic alliances where possible.
And always with an eye on Turkey, I imagine, given Afrin's location.
Constantly. That relationship with Turkey was a huge factor, especially for border regions like Afrin. The sources really highlight its strategic importance.
And this period, 1937-39, is exactly when things are shifting dramatically with the border, isn't it? With the whole Hatay situation.
Precisely. The sources talk about this long, long history connecting Afrin or Kurda with the town of Kilis just over the line in Turkey. It was an organic connection.
But the post-World War I border started changing that.
It started the process, but the late 1930s, especially with Turkey's annexation of Hatay finalized around 1939, that's when the border really hardened. It became much less porous.
And sever that Kilis connection more definitively.
Yes. The sources point to that. It wasn't instantaneous, perhaps, but this period was critical in making that border a much harder reality, and that had real consequences.
Like economically.
Yeah, economic vulnerability.
Yeah.
Cutting off those traditional ties to Keely's made Afrin more dependent on other markets, like Aleppo to the east. The sources suggest this shift was really being felt by this time.
Wow, okay. That's a lot happening in just a few years. Resistance, refugees, a border solidifying. Oh, Hannah the Chai Lady's here. Roj Bosch.
Ah. Perfect timing.
Sound of pouring. Thanks so much, Hannah. Let's see. Ah, feels warm and comforting today. How's yours?
Mine tastes just right today. Balanced. Not bitter at all. Perfect amount of sugar. Just what was needed.
Agreed. Excellent chai today. Really hits the spot.
Okay.
Right now. Okay, refreshed and ready to continue our journey through Afrin's past.
Right. So pulling those threads together for this 1937-1939 period.
Yeah, let's synthesize. Based on the sources, what picture emerges?
It's a picture of complexity. You've got this internal resistance, like the Murid movement we discussed. You've got external pressures forcing people to seek refuge in Afrin. And then you have the Mandate administration trying to impose control.
While dealing with powerful local actors and this increasingly tense border situation with Turkey.
Exactly. And what's fascinating is how the sources show these things interacting. Old structures like the Sufi networks, the influence of the Agas, they didn't just vanish. They intercepted with French power, with the new border realities, with the regional conflicts driving refugees.
Like the Murid movement using Nabi Hurri. That really stands out.
It does. The sources connecting that specific historical sacred site to contemporary political action is very telling. It shows how people were using the past, using existing social structures to navigate the present challenges.
And even as the Keely's connection was being disrupted by the border.
The economic links eastward, especially to Aleppo, remained crucial for Afrin during these specific years. The sources point to that continued importance.
So let's think about the listener. Why focus so intently on just these few years, 1937 to 1939? What does this particular moment tell us that's important?
Well, I think understanding these dynamics, the local resistance against not just the French, but landowners too, the arrival of refugees from Dersim, the specific ways the French managed control while dealing with Turkey right next door as the border hardened, it shows the layers.
Layers of pressure.
Yeah, the layers of political, social, economic pressure shaping Afrin well before the conflicts many people are more familiar with today. It shows people weren't just passive subjects. They were actively navigating these really complex relationships with state power.
And it highlights how regional events, even under the mandate, had immediate local consequences.
Absolutely. It really underscores the vulnerability created when borders cut through long-standing historical and economic ties. And it also points to Afrin's role, even then, as a place of refuge shaped by turmoil elsewhere.
So as we wrap up this look at Afrin in the late 1930s, the sources sketch out this period of resistance, refuge, and this shifting landscape defined by that tightening border under French rule.
It's a period that reveals a lot, I think, about the region's historical complexities and its position in a pretty turbulent wider world at that time.
And it leaves us with a final thought, maybe.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen in the sources.
I think so.
Yeah.
We saw how religious networks like the Naqshbandi Sufis and traditional social structures like the Aga system became intertwined with political resistance against external authorities like the French.
Right. The Murid movement being a prime example.
Exactly. So the question it leaves us with is, what does this historical pattern suggest about how communities, especially in border regions, mobilize? How do they use existing structures, religious, social, traditional, to maintain their identity and push back when faced with these big external pressures and changing state control?
That's definitely something to think about, how those internal resources are marshaled in times of external pressure.
Mm-hmm. Something to consider.
A good place to pause.
Mm.
Please join us next time for the final installment of our exploration in the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.